Good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. This is episode 208. I'm Logan. And here we just love to open up God's Word for 15 minutes and see what God has to say for another day. We're going to be turning to the Gospel of Matthew. But before we do that, let's join together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you have spoken through your Son. We ask that you would give us eyes to see and believe what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, if you've got your Bible, we're turning to Matthew 15. I'd love you to join me in reading along. Matthew 15, and we're going to read through to 16, verse 12. So Matthew 15. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7, and a few fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to disciples, and gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces that were left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came in to test him. They asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it, except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, We brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I do not speak to you about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, if you're getting a sense of deja vu, if you've sort of been with me on this journey through Matthew, and you're getting a sense of deja vu, I'm not surprised, because we've actually dealt with something very similar to this. Back in chapter 14, verse 13 through 21, we saw Jesus break the bread and the fish and give it out to those around him, to the crowds, and lots of people, over 5,000 men, not including women and children, were fed. And there was a response that came about a little bit later, in the beginning of chapter 15. You remember the Pharisees and the scribes come to Jesus, and they get very upset with him. And Jesus has to give a very firm answer to them then. But then also, previously, in chapter 12, we saw the Pharisees coming to Jesus and getting upset at him and demanding things of him. What's going on here then? Is this just Matthew recording an incident of the same reality, but not really giving us anything new? Can we just sort of brush over it and go, oh, it's a repeat? Or is there something different being stressed here? I think there is a different stress that we find here. There's a different main emphasis and point. Now, the feeding of the 4,000 versus the feeding of the 5,000, there's not a great deal of distinctive difference here. But yeah, there's some number differences and some other bits and bobs, but there's no real sort of substantive difference in the story. One of the big differences is last time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, can we send the crowds away because they're going to need to eat? Whereas this time, Jesus looks at the crowd and you see his compassion, don't you? In verse 15, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says to them, I have compassion on the crowd. He looks at the crowd. They've been following him for 3 days in the wilderness. Now, that's quite a feat. 3 days. They just sort of turned up and followed. They didn't prepare a packed 3-day lunch. So day three, they're starting to get pretty hungry. And Jesus says, I have compassion on them. I want us to do something for them. What are we going to do? Disciples? Got any ideas? And it's surprising, isn't it? Because we can be quite critical of the disciples and look at them and think, they've already seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. If you add women and children, maybe 10 or 12,000 people. We've already seen Jesus feed 12,000 people with a small amount of bread and fish. Wouldn't they just believe he's going to do that again? And yet they don't. Why? Well, the same reason you and I doubt so many times. Because we don't trust God. We don't trust the power of Jesus, the ability of Jesus. So isn't it true in our lives that God does something, and then 3 months later, a similar event occurs, and we find ourselves doubting and wrestling in the same place? We're really, really weak as Christians. We're really weak at looking back into the past and saying, how has God treated me in the past? How has God acted in the past? Where have I seen God's faithfulness? You remember throughout the Old Testament, the early believers in the Old Testament were called to remember. It was one of the major things they were told to do. Remember what God has done for you in Egypt. Don't forget. Bring to mind. And in the New Testament, we're called to do the same thing. We're called to remember the graciousness of God towards us. Because so often we forget, don't we? And so when we're cast low, when we're spiritually depressed, or when we're struggling physically, we begin to doubt. Does God really love me? Is God really able to help me? Will God be with me? Will this be for my good? But if we would only look back into our life, would we not see story after story of God's faithfulness to us? We really would, wouldn't we? And if we did that more often, if we spent time meditating, chewing in our minds on the things that God has done for us, we would have much less reason to doubt. We would be filled with a far greater confidence and assurance. But because of that doubt, we find ourselves in the place of the disciples. And the disciples are doubting. They don't know what to do. They say, where are we ever going to get enough bread to feed this many people? And Jesus sits them down just like last time, and he feeds the crowds until verse 37, everyone is satisfied. Now, fast forward a little bit. They leave where they are. They get in a boat and they go to the region of Magadan. And there they are met by the Pharisees and the Sadducees in chapter 16, verse 1, which is interesting because we have to remember, we often lump them together, but we have to remember that the Pharisees and Sadducees were borderline enemies. They did not get along. They did not agree in their teaching or understanding. They had almost completely different philosophical ideas. It's a little bit like the difference between a complete extreme liberal Presbyterian who rejects everything the Bible teaches and a Reformed Presbyterian. Put them in that sort of an extreme in your mind. Can you imagine them teaming up to do something together? You know, we're going to both work on this project. You'd be like, it's pretty weird that you're working together. And yet here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees join forces together. As one commentator put it, the unholy alliance is made, because there is one uniting principle between them: their hatred of Jesus. And this is a picture for us in this world. Isn't it amazing that the greatest of enemies can become the best of friends as they persecute the church? An example of this is Herod and Pilate. It tells us that they were enemies. In Luke, it says they were enemies. But on the day of the crucifixion of Jesus, they became friends, because they had a mutual enemy in their sight. And this is the world. As the world locks its eyes upon the church and upon Jesus Christ in a bid to kill them, they will befriend each other because they have a common enemy. So do not be surprised when people join forces against you or against the church, because it's been happening since the beginning. That the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come and they ask Jesus for a sign. And this is very interesting, because you can't tell me that these Pharisees and Sadducees hadn't heard about the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, and all the other miracles that had happened. Of course they'd heard of all these things. That's why they're doing this. They're not doing this purely because they heard the odd thing here and there. They've seen the evidence, they've heard what the teaching is, and they're drastically concerned, and they're wanting to get rid of him. So they come with a trap. They're going to test him. And they demand a sign from heaven. And it's interesting, isn't it? They demand a sign from heaven just after Jesus has been in the wilderness and provided bread for the people. Do you see the connection there? In the wilderness, Jesus provides bread, just like Moses and God provided bread that rained down from heaven for the people there. And now we find the Pharisees and the Sadducees saying, give us a sign from heaven. And it's almost like Matthew, it's hard to know, but I could imagine Matthew having a smile on his face and winking as he writes these words. Because there's that sense in which Jesus provided bread in the wilderness. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees should have said, he's actually just given us a sign. He provided bread, just like God did in the wilderness for the people of Moses' time. But Jesus very smartly replies, and it almost sounds like he says, I'm not giving you a sign. But interestingly, he kind of does at the same time. He says, when it is evening, you say it will be fair morning. In other words, you're able to judge the weather. You look outside and you see a stormy cloud and you say to yourself, oh, it's going to rain. You judge the weather clouds and make a decision based off the sign that you see before us. And Jesus says, look at all the miracles and stuff happening around you. Listen to my teaching. Look at it. And you decide if these signs point to the reality of what's going on. But no sign will be given except for the sign of Jonah. We talked a bit about this last time when it came up. But the idea is, you are rejecting the signs that God has given you. God's given you all these signs and the word to point to who I am and the kingdom of God that's being established. But you're rejecting it. So the ultimate sign will be Jonah. And remember last time he said, just like Jonah in the whale for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the earth. In other words, my victory upon the cross will be the ultimate sign, the ultimate picture of the fact that I have won the victory. My death and resurrection will be the sign that shows I am who I say I am. I have spoken truly of what God is doing. Jesus leaves them and goes with his disciples and gets in a boat. Now he reflects on these two events. He says to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And don't you love the disciples? They're like, oh, we forgot to bring bread. They're just clueless, aren't they? They're just like you and me. We're just clueless little children who just miss the point all the time. And yet Jesus is so patient with his disciples, isn't he? He's so patient with them. He says to them, oh, you of little faith, why are you talking about bread? Don't you get the point? The problem is not that you didn't bring bread. I can make bread out of nothing. I provided bread in the wilderness. Rather, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they understood that he was talking about their teaching. Now, what was the problem with their teaching? Obviously, he's not talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the doctrine of the Sadducees, because they had completely different doctrines. One of them, Pharisees, believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees didn't. So what's he speaking about? I think when he says teaching, he's really thinking about the attitude and the motivation behind their teaching, behind what they're doing, behind what they've just done. They came with an attitude which said, we are rejecting what God has revealed to us. We want something different. And Jesus says, beware of that attitude. It is a grave danger to say, what you have shown me, God, is not enough. I want something else. It reminds me of the woman who said to me, prove that Jesus is divine without using the Bible. Then I said to her, the Bible is the evidence that Jesus is divine. God has shown us. There is no other evidence. Now there are other great apologetic tools and different ways of explaining things and wrestling through realities. And we've been given archaeology and other literature and all sorts of other things. But ultimately, the one evidence we have is the revelation of God. And it is the revelation of God that will save people. Because it's God revealing his kingdom and his salvation in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And what this reminds us is that we must push into this and use this as our tool for the conversion of the nations. Beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the attitude and the teaching that says this is not enough. The Westminster Divine said that this contains everything that is necessary for salvation, faith, and a life of godliness. We don't need anything else. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to trust your word. We thank you for this teaching of Jesus, and we ask that you'd help us to absorb it into our very being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me for another day. I'll see you back here, same place, same time tomorrow afternoon. Have a most blessed night.